Let's stand together one more time, grabbing a Bible, opening up to Luke chapter 2, find verse 25. Find verse 25. We're looking at the different songs of Christmas, and today we're looking at Simeon's song. Simeon was likely an old saint, a faithful man, faithful at his post, at the worship of the Lord, not necessarily a priest or a prophet or anything like that, but just a most likely just a regular old saint in the kingdom of God, faithful, yet who had a very special calling on his life, and we'll reflect on that this morning and this evening. So Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 32. When I'm done, I'll say the word of the Lord, and then together we'll say thanks be to God. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the Christ and the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. He took him up into his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to the people of Israel." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray one more time. O Lord, show us wonderful things out of your law. Let the words of my mouth make you happy, be a delight to you, and make it useful for us, Lord, these words prepared. Thank you for your word, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. So, as you look at that story, maybe you've read that story a bunch of times, maybe even you grew up singing Simeon's song. I found a copy of some of the lyrics that some English speaker put, and they put this song in rhyme to be sung. Maybe you grew up singing this song during the Advent season or during the Christmas season. What's this song? What's this story about Simeon about? What's it about? How would you summarize the story? How would you summarize what's going on in the life of this man, Simeon, as he welcomes Jesus into his arms? How would you summarize it? This story is a story of waiting. It's a story of waiting. How many of you here know what it's like to wait for something? We have a few kids in here left. I bet you know exactly what it's like to wait for something. What have you had to wait for in your life? Work? Maybe there was a long season in your life where you were searching for a job and you waited and worked to get one. What about healing? Waiting for healing. How many people in this church right now have feet issues? Like, I've seen so many casts right over the last month, and people waiting for the healing of their feet. What about a car? I bet you some of you have waited around for a new car. You know, you've saved up. You have to wait a long time to save up to get a hold of a new car. Maybe a paycheck that was overdue. Maybe a spouse, praying for years and years and years for a spouse and looking for one and hoping for one. And what about a vacation? I bet you some of you here have waited for a long time on a vacation coming. Or maybe a home saved up for years, hoping and hoping and hoping that one day you'd be able to buy a home, right? This story is about waiting. And as I'm thinking about this, wait, I'm leaving something out. Waiting. Oh, Christmas. Waiting for Christmas. like all of December, as soon as the turkey is out of the oven at Thanksgiving and it's in your belly, the waiting begins, right? At least for you kids here. Like, Hawk, you are tortured right now. Waiting and waiting and waiting all month long. Waiting for Christmas Day. It's always December and never Christmas. Or as C.S. Lewis put it, always winter and never Christmas. And what's Simeon here in the story waiting for? Kids, did you catch it? What's Simeon waiting for? What's Simeon waiting for? What? What's he waiting for? Well, verse 25 through 26 tells you he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And then verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon was waiting for Jesus. He was waiting for the Lord's Christ. This phrase, the Lord's Christ, it means anointed one. Or you have heard of the term Messiah. He was waiting for the Messiah of the Jews to come to the people of God. This was someone who Israel, the people of God, had been waiting for a long time. There are all sorts of predictions, also over hundreds of years, that God would send a servant, a king, a prophet, a priest who would sit on the throne of King David. And Simeon was given this glorious burden, this post that he had to hold as he would wait for the Messiah to come. The Holy Spirit had shown him that he wouldn't see death, he wouldn't die until the Lord's Christ would come. God, the Holy Spirit, revealed this to him, that the Messiah would come within his lifetime, before he died. Now, he probably had no idea, you know, maybe he's going to live to 200, 300, 400 years old. You know, maybe he had days where he was like, this wait is never going to end. And I bet you it made life pretty interesting for Simeon, if you think about it. I can imagine that there were, depending on, you know, what events occurred in Simeon's life, that he at times felt invincible. You know, you can imagine, you know, great storms and wars and wicked rulers coming and going in his life and him in some fashion feeling somewhat invincible. Like he's going to outlive everybody, outlive it all, because guess what? He has not seen the coming of the Messiah yet. He has not seen the arrival of the Lord's Christ. It's possible that at the time of this story, Simeon was an old man. We actually are not told here. We kind of just assume that Simeon was a very old man. There are some traditions that believe that he was, 112 years old. They're waiting still for the Messiah to come. The text doesn't really tell us, but in some degree it is implied here that he was an old man waiting out an interesting promise that he wouldn't die until the coming of Messiah. You can see kind of the hints that he was old in verse 29 when it says, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. There's like these hints of relief that finally the day has come. Now he can depart in peace from this world into the coming world. He seems to be in a state where he's looking forward to depart from this world. This aging man prepared, anticipating of what lies ahead as in going into his final rest, because he finally can rest, that the Messiah has come. As one ages, life becomes constant warfare. Warfare with sin, with gravity, with bad health, with the sadness of watching loved ones pass on. And so I can imagine if indeed Simeon was an aged man here, he was dealing with all of it, especially the sadness of watching his loved ones go on ahead of him. And so departing from this world in anticipation of leaving his body, being present with the Lord, probably in some fashion sounded quite appealing to him. Job 7:1 echoes the kind of feeling that many get as they move, as they traverse through life. Job 7:1 echoes this kind, these kinds of feelings. It's where it says, "Has not man a hard service on earth, and are not his days like the days of a hired hand?" If these things are the case in Simeon's life, that he looked at the life as a long, hard service that he had to fulfill, it would also have been to him a privileged post, a privileged service that he was called to. Privileged because he knew. He knew the Messiah was coming within his lifetime, knowing that he had the great Messiah that he would see one day. A hard life, a hard service, and yet a glorious post that he held. It may have felt like Simeon was always serving, but never resting. Always waiting, but not yet seeing. My guess is that for some of you, you can relate at least to some of that, right? You know what it's like to wait forever for something. And as they say, a watched pot never what? Never boils. Waiting, hoping, praying for relief from suffering and hurt, serving, 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 and little rest. But Simeon's story has something for us, doesn't it? It has a lot for us. And that is that we have a hope and support in the length of our waiting as well. Like Simeon, it should be hoping and seeing with our very own eyes the salvation of God. We don't hope the same way Simeon did hope. We look forward. He looked forward to the first coming of the Messiah. We look forward to the second coming of the Messiah. But just like Simeon, we wait for the day in which we can see him face to face with our very eyes and behold him and maybe even hold him on the day of the resurrection. Do you have that kind of hope? And Simeon's story invites us to look back on the first coming and to look forward to the increase of Christ's government and finally seeing him in the flesh. Whoever has this kind of hope, Scripture reveals to us, actually is renewed in their mind and grows in more and more in their faith. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 through 3 talks about the hope of seeing Jesus' second appearance, seeing him face to face again, where it says, "We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." Simeon's life was a life of focused waiting. Focused waiting. Focused on the horizon, waiting for the coming of the Messiah. The only way Simeon would have peace and rest for him was to see the arrival of the salvation of God in person in the Messiah. And thus it was a focused waiting, preparing him for the day ahead, right? Keeping him on his toes, keeping him focused, keeping him his hope and his optimism in the coming of the Lord would lead him to a life of faithful service, a man of God, a righteous man, he is described. And so what this does, this kind of focus and this hope, is it leads these types of things, they lead us and teach us how we can receive him. And in fact, the story of Simeon is not just a story of waiting, but it's a story of seeing. It's a story of waiting and it's a story of seeing. And Simeon becomes for us not just an example of how to wait, but how to see. How to see the Lord Jesus. There are three things I just want to point out to us this morning about how how Simeon saw Jesus when Jesus came. Verse 28 says that Simeon took him up into his arms. Simeon took him up into his arms. The church actually had a Latin nickname for Simeon. Anybody know what Simeon's nickname was? Like the ancient church? The ancient church called him the God Receiver. The Latin for that was Theodocus. Theodocus, the God Receiver, they called Simeon. And that's because he had the privilege of seeing the promises of God to Israel and to him, and he was able to take those promises up into his arms, receiving him. He had this glorious privilege of seeing the Messiah before his death. This long-waited, eagerly anticipated joy that he held, this bundle of joy that he held in his arms. And this is a part of his expressing gratitude to God, that he would take him up into his arms. I'm sure he had tears in his eyes, weeping over the glory of the moment in which he took the king into his arms. God didn't have to give this as a gift to Simeon. He didn't have to give this gift to anybody to have this unique calling upon their life. It was a gift, and it was a gift that Simeon received with gladness. And of course, this calls all of us to receive Jesus personally. To borrow from the story of Simeon, to be those who are also God receivers, those who would receive the Lord Jesus. This should encourage us to be God receivers too. It's one thing for you to be here in church on Christmas Eve, and it's another thing for you to receive the gift of Christmas yourself, the gift of Christmas in Jesus Christ. The reality is a Christian receives the gift of Christmas as the greatest gift that we could ever receive. This is the gift that matters the most. This is the gift that brings peace. The coming of the Lord Jesus is the gift that satisfies the soul. So let me ask you, the kids, is that your story? I'll challenge you that Jesus is the better gift. You'll have tomorrow morning, you know, some gifts under your tree. And Jesus is, all of those little gifts under the tree ultimately point you to the greatest gift that the world has ever seen, that God would send his son for you, for your sake, to die for you and in your place. So may this Christmas, tomorrow morning, be not just a day of fun and celebration of gifts, but the best gift that you could ever have. Now, a second part of Simeon's reaction is the fact that his heart was raised up in praise. And this is an invitation to us, too, to have hearts that are raised up in praise to God for his inexpressible gift. When Jesus' parents brought Jesus to the temple, we read in verse 28 that not only did he take Jesus up into his arms, but he blessed God as a result of it. And that's what the hymn is all about. The hymn here, the song here in verses 29 through 32 is the lyrics that Simeon expressed, the praise that Simeon expressed for God sending the gift of Jesus. Let me read them to you again. He says, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people, Israel." This really is the theme of all the songs. The theme, the song, the lyrics of this song are really the themes of all the songs that we've looked at in this Advent season. They are remarkably similar. They're remarkably similar. Like the others, this song is a joyful response to the way that God has fulfilled his promise to Israel and bringing salvation through the person and the work of his messianic king. And so Advent season is a time of calling. It's a call, a long call to worship. All the waiting, all of the preparation, all of the longing is this long call to worship, to raise our hearts, just like Simeon, up so that when Christ comes, our hearts are well prepared for the salvation that God would send in a very personal way. And so my prayer for us as a church, as a congregation, is our hearts will become more and more deeply connected to the coming of Jesus Messiah. That the sight of the Messiah perceived by our hearts will give way to praise, would give way to hearts that are raised to God in prayer. And that this would be not just the story of this Advent, but this would be the story of our lives, however short or long they are. That we would be those whose lives, even long lives, would be characterized by hearts that are raised up in praise and longing for the one who we see by faith. This is what we were made for. We were made to be worshipers, and Christmas is a great time to reboot our hearts with praise. Now, there is a third thing here to apply as we look at Simeon's reaction, and that is that Simeon rested. He took Jesus, taking Jesus up into his arms, and prayer and a prayer of praise really resulted in his resting. Seeing Jesus and the saving work of Jesus would result in his life in rest in the Lord. And we should rest in the saving work of Jesus Christ as well. We should rest in Jesus as well. Verse 29 through 30 says, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Dr. Daryl Bach puts it this way when he says, "Simeon declares that he can now rest." That's what's happening here. Simeon declares that he can now rest because in seeing Jesus, he has seen God's salvation. Simeon is like the watcher who can leave his assigned post because the anticipated event has come. Simeon is a sentinel whose job is to announce the appearance of a great star in the world. So Bach here is pointing out that the salvation of God is a person. The salvation of God is a person. And that person is the person that triggers in Simeon's heart that now's the time for resting. Now he can finally enter into the rest and peace of God. God's saving acts in history are so closely tied to God the Son, and we see that are closely tied to God the Son. It's indistinguishable. When God sent Jesus, what do you see? You see salvation, the salvation of God coming into the world. And I hope that you can rest in that. I hope that you can rest in Christ, that you come to rest in Jesus. The fact of God sending the Son into the world brought Simeon to this place of peace, and it could bring all of us into a place of peace. Here we find assurance that God is a God who keeps his word. God is a God who fulfills his commands. God is a God who acts upon things that he has promised he will act upon. And Simeon was just one more embodiment of the truth of God fulfilling his promises. Jesus Christ is the fullness of God, all of God's promises being realized. The birth of Jesus Christ is God's salvation and his faithfulness to every prophet, every priest, every king of Israel who he had promised the Messiah would come. He spoke through them to the whole of the people of God, and here he was in this child, the God the Son, in the arms of Simeon, all of God's promises fulfilled. And that's where we rest, that God is a God who keeps his promises and sent forth his Son into the world, born of the Virgin Mary, answering all of those promises. This is why it's not just enough to know some facts about Jesus Christ and then move on, right? It's not just enough to know some facts about Jesus Christ, but this day, this day that we celebrate is for us to look on those facts and then enter into rest, right? So it's not just ideas on a page, but it's rest to receive. Receiving Christ as the one who came for sinners, Christ came to save sinners from God's own righteous indignation over our rebellion against Him, our idolatry. And how could you rest if you knew that you were outside of God's forgiveness, that you had your sin still clinging to you, you had not been cleansed of them? How could you ever enter into ultimately God's rest? Our salvation from sin and separation from God is only through the salvation of God there, the one who would come and was held in the arms of Simeon. Our salvation from sin and our separation from God is only through the person and work of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's not just like, it's not 50% Simeon and 50% Jesus, right? It's not 50% your good works and then 50% Jesus's works, peace with God, the rest that you would have with God, freedom to approach God, approach heaven, receive the forgiveness of sins, is all through Jesus. He is the salvation that you would hope for. Jesus Christ, and it is through Jesus Christ alone. Like Simeon, Christmas is about beholding a king, lowly bending before him, and receiving him, just like Simeon did. Taking him. Just that's it. He's a gift. Here he is. Take him into your arms. Lowly bending before him, receiving him alone for salvation. And so is that you, right? Christmas is an invitation to ask yourself, is that me? Right? Is that me? Am I one who is trusting in Jesus alone for salvation? Trusting in him alone to right this upside down world. So that's the invitation. Wait for him. And see that in him and in him alone, salvation of your soul for your soul and the salvation for this world. Rest in and receive him alone. For our hearts, as St. Augustine said, our hearts will be restless until they find our rest in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. Let's pray together. So, Father, this story gives us some things to think about. And we will even reflect further this evening upon Simeon's story a little more. But thank you in the meantime. Thank you that you came, long-expected Jesus, born to set your people free, born to be beheld, born for bended knees, born to bring peace to weary souls. We receive you. We raise our hearts in praise to you. Rest in you, the author of our salvation. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.